Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne. You know, there's an old phrase you hear people use for all kinds of things. The phrase, and you'll recognize it, is sometimes less is more. Now, they use that phrase when they mean that more of a thing doesn't necessarily equate to a bigger or better effect. Sometimes it's easy to think that more will be better. It'll make you happier. More money, more stuff, more friends. But you know it doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes, as the phrase says, less is more. And the characters in our first story learn this lesson the hard way when a fisherman catches a magical talking fish who can grant him a wish. This is a good old story with as many versions as there are people who've told it. And we think you're going to love hearing it the way Los Angeles storyteller Antonio Sacre tells it. Here's Antonio Sacre with The Fisherman and His Wife.
Once, a long time ago, a fisherman lived with his wife in a little shanty by the ocean. It was such a small shack that it just had one table with one chair and one small bed, that when the wife would eat, the fisherman would stand. And when he would eat, she would have to stand. And on some nights, she would sleep in the bed and he would sleep on the floor. And on some nights, he would sleep on the bed and she would sleep on the floor. If he caught enough fish to eat, they would eat. If he caught more fish, they would sell the fish and buy what little they needed. And on the nights that they did not catch any fish, they ate what little they had. One day he went down to the ocean and he threw his line into the ocean and nothing was coming up all day long. And he thought, tonight we will have very little to eat. When just then his line was taut and he pulled it and pulled it and pulled it and he pulled out a beautiful fish and beautiful It was beautiful, with emerald eyes and multicolored scales. And he looked at it and he said, oh my goodness, I've never seen a fish as beautiful as this. Oh, when this fish is on our dish, we will be so happy tonight. I cannot wait. And the fish said, yes, I am a tasty fish. Are you a magic talking fish? I'm a magic talking fish, and I am delicious. Oh my goodness, I couldn't eat you that I'm talking with you now. No, I'm not going to do it. You're not going to eat me? I'm not. Thank you, fisherman. And he threw the fish back in the ocean. And he kept fishing, but nothing came up. And he went home with no fish. And his wife said, ah, husband, you caught no fish today. Oh, no, I did. I caught a beautiful fish. It was this big. Oh, but where is it, husband? Oh, I threw it back in the ocean. Why would you do such a thing? Oh, it was a magic talking fish. Oh, you got a magic talking fish, husband. Our luck has changed. What did you wish for? I didn't wish for anything. Why not? Don't you know the old stories? When you catch a magic talking fish, you get one wish. What did you wish? I didn't read those stories. That's why you should be a reader. You know that. I'm sorry, wife. Maybe I'll go down and ask the fish to come back. The fish is not coming back. Maybe it will. He went down to the ocean. He looked. The calm sea, blue sky. He felt foolish. Fish, fish, in the sea. Please swim your way back to me. My wife says we get a wish since we didn't put you on our dish. And sure enough, in the distance, the fish came leaping and swimming. And it swam up with an almost smile on its face, said, you're here for your wish. I am. What will you have? I don't know. I wish that my wife and I could eat together at the table. I wish that we had a bed that we could share. I wish that we had a slightly bigger house. It has been granted. And when he went back to his little shanty, there was now a beautiful little cottage with flowers in front and a little fence. And inside, a table that was good for four people with four chairs and a bed big enough for both of them to spare. And they sat and they ate and they smiled and they laughed and they lived happily ever for about a year. And she said, husband, why did you wish for a small cottage? You know we have a big family. There's no place for them to come and visit us. There's no place for them to sleep. You should have asked for a bigger house and a bigger table. and maybe even a little garden in the back. Ah, that would have been smart, wife. She said, yeah, maybe you could go and ask the fish. Oh, no, I couldn't ask the fish. She said, no, it's the same wish. It's just slightly bigger. Ah, wife, that's true. I will go down and ask the fish. And down to the ocean he went. And now the waves were a little bit bigger. And there was some white, puffy clouds in the sky. He said, fish, fish in the sea, please swim your way back to me. My wife and I wish to slightly expand upon our original wish since we didn't put you on our dish. And the fish came swimming back. What will you have? Well, I should have wished more wisely. We have a big family. They like to visit. Could you just make us a bigger house with more space at the table and more beds for them to sleep in? And the fish said, it will be granted. And when he got back, instead of a little cottage, there was a beautiful house with a table that could fit 15 people. And upstairs, bedrooms for as many family members as you wanted. And the wife looked at the husband, and the husband looked at the wife, and they smiled, and they lived happily ever for about 6 months. And she said, husband, why did you not make us a castle? You are like my king. He said, wife, you are like my queen. We should be king and queen of this land. We should be in a castle. That's what I was thinking. And it's really not that different from a big house. You are right, wife. I will go down to the ocean. And down to the ocean he went. And now the waves were crashing and the storm clouds were gathering. And he could say over the distance, fish, fish in your sea, please swim your way back to me. My wife and I wish to change our wish since we didn't put you on our dish. And the fish came up with almost a scowl. What is it now? We would have a castle. I would be king and my wife would be queen. And the fish said, it has been granted. And when he got back, instead of that big house, there was a huge bridge and a moat and 50 trumpeters and 50 drummers and a portcullis. And he walked inside and there was a golden throne and his wife with a crown 5 feet in the air. And he sat down next to him and hurt. And he sat down next to her and put the crown on his head. And they lived happily ever for about a week. And she said, husband, we should be emperor of the entire world. He said, we should. And down to the ocean he went. And the hurricane was on the horizon and thunder and lightning in the distance. And he could barely hear his voice over the maelstrom. Fish, fish in the sea, swim your way back to me. My wife and I wish to change our wish since we didn't put you on our dish. And the fish came leaping in and said, what is it now? We would be emperor of the world. And the fish said, it has been granted. And now, back, instead of that castle, there was an emerald palace up into the sky with thousands of trumpeters and drummers. And he walked in, and there on a crown made of diamonds was his wife, the emperor of the whole entire world. And he sat down next to her, and they lived happily ever for about an hour. And she said, we would be emperor of the universe. We would make stars and planets move. And he said, wife, we are happy being emperor of the world. And she said, no, we are not. Down to the ocean you will go. And he went down to the ocean, and the fish was waiting for him. And he said, fish, we wish to change our wish. And the fish was silent. And the fish swam away. And the clouds disappeared, and the sea calmed. And when he went back, instead of it, a palace, or a castle, or a house, or a cottage, there was a little tiny hut by the ocean, and inside his wife sat at the one table next to the small bed, and they lived unhappily ever after.
That was Antonio Sacre with The Fisherman and His Wife. Now, listening to this story, it reminds me of all sorts of times when I thought more of something would make me happier. I remember a day not too long ago when I looked down at my wrist to find that my watch had stopped. So I ran it up to a little watch repair place at the shopping mall. And to get to the watch place, I had to walk through the mall food court. And I was caught up in memories of hanging out at the mall food court when I was a kid. Bowls of Chinese food, delicious tacos, Orange Julius, spicy chicken sandwiches. I mean, just some of the delights in my pretty vivid memories of those good food court times. But I rushed past all that and dropped my watch off with the repair guy. Well, he told me to give him about 15 minutes to take a look. So I had 15 minutes to kill, all pretty much adjacent to the food court. And I smelled delicious soft pretzels. And I love soft pretzels, I thought. It's been ages since I had a good soft pretzel. So I got one, and I ate it on the spot. And it was as great as I remembered. And then I smelled pepperoni pizza. Oh, man, I thought, I love pepperoni pizza. And it's been ages since I had a slice. So I got one, and I ate it on the spot, and it was as great as I remembered pepperoni pizza being. And then I saw a pile of little bags of Fritos in a basket on the counter of a sandwich place. Oh, man, I thought, I love Fritos, and it's been ages since I had a handful of Fritos. And, well, they're as great as I remembered. And I wish I could say the story ended there, but, well, it's a big food court. And 15 minutes is rather longer than you think it's going to be. But there came a point when I rushed back to the watch repair shop, and a guy had fixed me up. He even did it for free. It was the watch battery, and the battery was still magically under warranty. So, yay. But through the rest of the afternoon and into the evening and even through the night, as I tossed and turned, man, I tell you, one thought resounded in my head. When it comes to the mall food court and its considerable delights, less is definitely more. And that's where Antonio's story took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along? You know, our next story finds us in quite the opposite of the situation in our first story. The protagonist in this story finds more than he could ever dream of, but he knows that giving is maybe better than having it all. It's a sweet story about a peddler and his dog, and it'll be told for you by Geraldine Buckley, recorded live in the Appleseed Studio. Here's Geraldine.
Once upon a time, a long, long time ago, 500 years ago, in the land of my birth, England, there was a village called Swatham. It's on the east part of England. And at the edge of the village, there was a tumble-down house. And the thing that set this house apart was that in the garden, there was a magnificent tree. This tree was so beautiful, it could have been in a king's garden. It had these huge branches that swept over the roof of this tumble-down cottage, which meant that in the winter, it kept off the snow and the rain and the wind, and it was cozy inside. And in the summer, it kept off the heat, and it was like having wonderful air wafting through that house. And inside that tumble-down cottage, there lived a peddler and his dog. And every day the peddler would go off to work and he would sell his bright and shiny things. He had earrings and bracelets and neckerchiefs. But he was a very generous man, and often he didn't sell things, he gave them away. But if he sold things, then there would be enough for dinner for himself for that night and a bone for the dog. And if he didn't sell anything, he'd come home and he'd be hungry. But still, he loved giving things away. Well, one day he was going off to work and the little dog was right behind him, and he saw that tree as he was walking out of the house, and he thought, I'm a blessed man to have such a tree in my life. I am blessed. And he went off and he did sell something. He had a lovely supper, the dog had a bone, and in the middle of the night he had a very strange dream. It was a very vivid dream. In the dream, he heard a voice say to him, go to London town, stand on London Bridge, and you will hear something that will be really, really good for you. And he half woke up and he thought, London Bridge is an awfully long way away, and he went back to sleep. Well, the next day he went off to work, and once again he saw that tree, and this time he put his hand on the trunk of the tree, and he thought, oh, I'm so blessed to have this tree in my life. And he went off. This time he didn't sell anything. So he went to bed hungry. But In the middle of the night, he had the same dream. And in the dream, he heard a voice clearly say, "Go to London town, stand on London Bridge, and you will hear something that will be really, really good for you." And again, he half woke up and he thought, "London, but London's a long way away." And he went back to sleep. The next day, he went off to work. This time, he leaned against that tree and he felt the warmth of the trunk in his back. And he looked up through the branches and he thought, "I love this tree. This tree is a wonderful tree." And he went off to work. He did sell things. He had supper, and so did the dog. In the middle of the night, he had the same dream. And the voice said, "Go to London town, stand on London Bridge, and you will hear something that will be really, really good for you." And this time he made himself wake up and he thought, I'm going to London. I'm going to follow the dream. I'm going to." And he got a few things together in a knapsack and he got the dog. And as soon as the dawn came up, he started off to the royal city of London. He walked and he walked and he walked. He walked and he walked and he walked. He walked and he walked through the rain and through the wind and through the hail. There was even hail for 3 days until he got to the royal city of London. He had never seen anything so busy. He came from a village. It was huge, and people were pushing and they were shoving, and there was a cart who almost knocked him over. And he got to London Bridge as soon as he could, which took him a long time. Now, London Bridge is not the same bridge as it was when I was growing up many, many, many years ago. In fact, a very rich American bought that bridge and they dismantled it brick by brick and they took it to a desert in Arizona and they rebuilt it. It is there in the desert, London Bridge. And it's not the one that often people think it is, which is the one that opens. No, that's Tower Bridge. This was a much, much older version of the bridge, of London Bridge. It was a wooden structure that went across the Thames. And this was a very busy thoroughfare. It had houses and shops on both sides, and there were always people coming and going. And so the peddler, obedient to the dream, he went and stood on the bridge with his dog. And no one spoke to him. No one came up. Nothing happened. One day, 2 days, 3 days, he was there with the wind and the rain, and there was more hail. And he just got to the point where he thought, "I've obviously heard wrong. I must have heard wrong." When the shopkeeper, who had a shop on the other side of the bridge, came over and he said, "I've been watching you." He said, "Can I ask you a question?" He said, well, yes, all right." He said, "Because I haven't even spoken to anyone for 3 days." He said, "Well, why are you here?" He said, "You haven't bought anything, you haven't sold anything, you haven't begged and you haven't stolen. What's the story?" And the peddler said, "Well, first of all," he said, "I hope I'm never reduced to begging and I'd never steal." He said, "Because that's wrong." He said, "Well, I wouldn't normally tell you because it's a bit private, but, well, I'm here because of a dream." And the shopkeeper said, "You're here because of a dream?" And the peddler said, "Yes, because of a dream." He said, "A dream?" He said, "Yes." He went, "A dream? And he started to laugh and laugh, and he laughed so much that a crowd came round him. And so they didn't know what was going on, but people can be really mean. They could see that he was mocking this man, and they all started to laugh. Well, the shopkeeper loved the fact he was getting so much attention, so he brought everyone close, and he said, come here, let me tell you something. He said, this man has been so ridiculous to come all the way to wherever he's come from for a dream. He said, "I could have done the same thing." Can you imagine? He's left his home and his everything. "I could have done the same thing because for 3 nights I've had a dream, the same dream. And it said, if I went to a little village called," now what was it called? I've never heard of it before. What was it called? "Swatham. If I went to a little village called Swatham, I would find on the edge of the village, there was a tumble down white house. And I would know it was the house because there was a tree in the garden that was magnificent. It was so lovely, it could have been in a king's palace. And if I dug in the roots of that tree, I'd find something that would be really good for me. Did you think I'd leave my business and just go all that way because of a dream? Do you think I'd be so ridiculous? No, I wouldn't." And he started laughing again, and they all did. Ha, 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 ha. And then he said to the peddler, "You better go home." And the peddler said, "I think I should." And the peddler got out of there as fast as he could with the dog, and he walked 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 until on the third day, as the sun rose, he got to his house. And he went inside and he got a shovel. And he went to the roots of that magnificent tree and he started to dig, dig, dig. And the little dog by the side of him started to scratch away as well at the dirt. Dig, dig, scratch, scratch, dig, dig, scratch, scratch, until he heard a clunk. He heard the metal of the spade against some metal. So he got down on his hands and knees and he started to move the dirt aside. And there he saw that there was an iron box, a big iron box. And he managed to get it up and he got it open. And inside, it was filled with gold coins. Incredible gold coins. Well, now, they say that this is a true story. And in fact, it very well could be, because when many, many years ago, when the Saxons were living in England and they were being invaded by the Normans, people dug their treasure, and they're still finding loads of treasure, very much like in America during the Civil War when people would hide their silver in the ground. So they're still finding it. So they say that this is true. And they say that the peddler gave half of that money, which was a huge amount, to the church. And in fact, if you look it up, and you can see this, that 500 years ago, an extension was built on the church in Swatham. And inside there are these beautiful wooden pews. And on each one, on one end, there is a carving of the peddler. And on the other side, there's a carving of the dog. And in the town, there's a statue that has the peddler and the dog in it. So he gave half of the money to the church. Then he gave half of what was left, a quarter, he gave it to the poor, because he knew what it was like to be hungry. And he didn't want anyone else to be hungry if he could possibly help it. And so he had the rest, a quarter of the whole amount, to live on. Now, most people think that that is the end of the story. But it's not. There is a secret part of the story that I am going to share with you now. Not many people know this. It turns out that when the peddler was very, very, very old indeed, and the dog incredibly was still alive, and it was so old, it was ancient, that if the Guinness Book of Records had been in existence then, that dog would have been on the front page every single year. Well, when he was that old, he had given away so much money that he only had one gold coin left. And there was no food. He'd gone through all the food in his pantry. But he thought, "I'm not going to worry," because a gold coin was worth a huge amount in those days. He thought, "I'll just go down to the village. I'll go down to the market. I'll just stock up with this gold coin and I'll fill the pantry again. And that will see me and the dog out. It'll be fine." And so he set off for the village. And in the distance, he saw a beggar. And he looked at the beggar, and he didn't recognize the beggar at first, because he knew all the local beggars, because they all came to him because he was so generous. But as the man came close, he thought, "He's familiar. He's familiar." And then he realized who it was. It was the shopkeeper from 30 years before, who was now a beggar. Well, the peddler remembered all those people mocking him and laughing at him, and he just felt this anger come up and just wanting to explode out of him. And he thought, no, I need to forgive. This man understood the power of forgiveness. He said, "No, I must forgive. I choose to forgive." He knew that forgiveness was an act of the will. And if you keep forgiving as an act of the will, your emotions will line up. And he kept saying, "I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive." Well, the beggar, who was the shopkeeper, came up to him and he said, "Do you have anything for me?" Well, all he had was that coin, that one last gold coin. And again, that anger came up and he thought, "I can't give it to him. I can't give it to him. He mocked me. He mocked me. They all mocked me." And he thought, "No, I've chosen to forgive. I've chosen to forgive. I've chosen to forgive." And very slowly, he took that gold coin out of his pocket and he handed it to the beggar who'd been the shopkeeper. Now, when we give something to somebody, we shouldn't ever expect anything in return, not even a thank you, but we all like getting a thank you. He didn't get a thank you, But he did get two words. The beggar, who'd been the shopkeeper, looked at him and said, "Dig deeper." And he said, "I beg your pardon." He said, "Dig deeper." And the dog made some kind of motion and movement, and he looked at the dog, and when he looked back, the beggar had gone. He wasn't there. He'd been there a moment before, and then suddenly he wasn't there. And there wasn't a house he could have ducked behind, or a tree, or even a bush. He'd just gone. So he knew what he had to do. He had to get back to the house as quickly as possible. And he set off as fast as he could, which wasn't very fast because he was so old. And the dog was so ancient. He was trailing behind. It took them a long time to get home, and very slowly went in the house. And he got the same shovel and he started to dig in the same hole. But because he was so old, it was so slow. Dig, dig. And the dog helped him. Scrabble, scrabble, scritch. Dig, dig, scrabble, scrabble, scritch. But then he realized that there was something there. There was something there. There was something metal in the same hole. And very slowly, because his bones were old and they hurt, he got down on his hands and knees and he started to move the dirt aside. And sure enough, in that same hole where there had been all the gold, there was a small iron box. And he opened it. He couldn't believe his eyes. This one didn't have any gold in it. It was filled with diamonds. And he and his dog lived happily ever after, which is what I wish for all of you.
That was Geraldine Buckley with a story about how being generous with what you have leaves you somehow with more. Have you ever had a chance to share something that you didn't at first want to give away? Have you wanted something so bad that you thought you couldn't live without it, and then you got it and found you didn't need it so much after all? What have been the most meaningful giving experiences for you? I bet you've got some stories. We hope you'll share them with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share the stories with us. We might share them on the show. You can tag us on social media, or you can send us a message at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, at byu.edu. We want to thank Antonio Sacri and Geraldine Buckley for sharing their stories with us today. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own. If you want more, try the BYU Radio podcast, Constant Wonder. It explores the awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.